All right, good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Titus today, New Testament Titus, after 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus, Philemon. Titus and chapter 2. And actually, I want to read the whole chapter. Titus 2. Says this, verse 1, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith and love and endurance. Before we continue, I want to just let you know what we're going to emphasize is this word or phrase, self-controlled, and how many times you're going to see this in this chapter. Okay, so one more time. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of self-respect, self-controlled. Sorry, this is from the NIV as opposed to NASB. And sound faith in love and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may not be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These, then, are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, God, for this time to just be in your presence, God. I pray that as we read your word, that we would hear you speak. And God, we want to just commune with you today. So Lord, open our eyes to see, God, your heart for us today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you'll see here that the number of times Titus talks about being self-controlled. And it's actually one of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-controlled or self-discipline is a theme in the New Testament. How we as believers, as we mature in our faith, there's an element of self-control. And so if we look at verse 2, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control. In fact, if you jump back to verse 8, talking about overseers, rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled. Chapter 1, verse 8. One who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Even in this one verse, chapter 1, verse 8, this idea of self-control and discipline is mentioned twice in this one verse, to be self-controlled and disciplined. We know what life is like when we are out of control. When we're back in the States and we drove a car, it was a good feeling for that car to be in control, where you're in control. But when I was growing up in the Midwest, where there's snow and ice, I remember a few times where because of the ice and just the speeds, and you had no control. And I remember one time that we were turning the wheels and it just didn't get traction. And so I spun out and did like a 360, 720, 980. And so we spun out and then we went into the ditch. And I remember during that time, it was like my life was in slow motion, you know, just spinning out of control, pressing on the brake and trying to regain it, because I knew that In a moment, something really bad could happen. I mean, at the very least, damage to the car. At the very worst, loss of my life. And that's what happens when you are not in control of your vehicle, whether it be a brake failure or something wrong, and you cannot control this powerful instrument, this vehicle, this automobile. When you cannot control something that powerful, it leads to destruction. Like I said, at the very least, damage. At the very worst, death. And the same sort of example can apply to our lives, that God has given us life. And if we don't have self-control, at the very least, we would damage our lives. But at the very worst, we could it could end in death. King Solomon in Proverbs 16 says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Solomon tries to share with us that it's great to have power, but it's better to have control, because if you can't control yourself, your power is not worth much. We could start small in our lives. One weakness for me is self-control in the area of eating and overeating. And there are many ways to handle self-control in regards to eating. You can, you know, put a large chain and padlock against your refrigerator and give the key to your spouse, or just throw away the key, and that might help. But when that key is unlocked, or when that lock is open, then what do you do? Self-control and self-discipline is really important. If you think about it, we have nobody telling us how many hours a week we have to read our Bible. We have no one forcing us to come to church. We have nobody forcing us to pray. We have nobody forcing us to give our tithes or offerings. We don't have people forcing us on which movies or TV shows that we can or cannot watch. This only happens through your own self-discipline. And in the book of Titus, the idea of self-discipline is emphasized and emphasized. Even within one verse, it's emphasized twice. Within one chapter, it's emphasized four or five times. Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 talks about, "But I discipline my body and bring it into my subjection. When I have preached to others, I don't want to disqualify myself." And so in our modern world, I think self-discipline becomes more difficult and difficult the more affluent we become. Because it's just really hard to just say no to things. It's hard to say no to yourself. It's hard to say no to indulgences. It's hard to say no to luxuries. It's the more affluent we become, the harder self-discipline is, because we have such an abundance or excess that it just becomes harder to say no. And so when problems and difficulties come up in our lives, it's hard to discipline ourselves, because we find or purchase ways to get out of it. So when it comes to character issues, when it comes to difficulties in relationships or marriage, it's hard to stick it through, because you know, we don't have the discipline to work through it or to stay in the relationship. Solomon also said, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." And believe me, the days of adversity will come. And we need to understand that we need to develop the self-discipline of character and perseverance and integrity to handle these difficult things. We also realize that to be competent or good at anything, it requires self-discipline. For me, growing up, it was piano and like most Asian kids, I guess, where my parents first forced that upon me or upon us. And I remember the way that my dad would, I guess, self-discipline or discipline me is that he would make me record my practices. So even if he wasn't home, you know, if he came home later or he just wasn't around for my practices, I would have to submit the tape, and he would listen to the tape to make sure. And so there are many times where I'd be sleepy and just play the same song over and over again. And, you know, and so that was sort of forced me to practice and to practice and practice and practice. and finally to be able to reach a competency to be able to play in a public setting. The Christian life in terms of discipline is no different. There's a man named Gus Nichols that spoke to somebody, and he knew the Bible, you know, very well, in and out. And he could quote scripture, and a person was very inspired by that, admired him for that. And he mentioned to him, I'd give my life to know the Bible like you do. To which Gus replied, well, that's what it took. It took my life. A lifetime of study and dedication and a maturity and a discipline. If we're ever going to mature as Christians, we've got to develop this this principle of self-discipline. I mean, I could preach all day long and nag all day long of how we need to read the Bible and how we need to pray and how we need to come to church and seek the lost and all these things. But eventually it requires a self-discipline. In fact, when they did a survey of believers who've been attending church for a very long time at this one megachurch, they did a survey and they tried to figure out the maturity of Christians. And they thought that their whole strategy was to have all of these programs and to have their church members just participate in all of these programs. And as they looked around, and if think about our church also, we look at people who are involved in all of the different ministries, right? Maybe some of us that we know are involved in three or four different ministries that we're involved with, you know, Noah's Ark and Welcoming and Barista, and, you know, we're house church leaders, and we're involved in all of these ministries, and we're participating in the life of the church. And as they did the survey of these kinds of people and people in general within the church, and they asked about how close and intimate they felt with God and how mature in their faith and how much faith they had, you know, markers that we would use to develop maturity or to see maturity. And surprisingly, in this independent study, it was those who participated the most in the church's programs and in life in the church felt the least intimate with God, and they felt the least mature. But they found out a different metric. It was those who spent regular time in scriptures on a regular basis, on a daily basis, that felt mature and felt intimate with God. And so this church was very shocked and surprised, because they looked at their people and they saw these people serving and serving and serving and serving. They were leaders of the church. And it was the leaders of the church that felt the least intimate with God. But they found that it was those who may be uninvolved in the church or unknown to people at the church, but they spent regular disciplined time in God's word and in the spiritual disciplines that felt close to God. How does this happen, as they ask them? It comes from self-discipline. It comes from just your own self-control and own discipline to spend time in God's word and to pray and to seek his face. And so that was a shocking discovery in this study. And I wonder, as we look at our church, and as we look at those who are very involved in the church, and if we did our own sort of private survey of how close and intimate do you feel with the Lord, as opposed to those who are regularly involved in getting into God's Word. And so as we learn in Titus, today I recommend that you just meditate on that chapter 2, as we went over today, that if we're ever going to mature as Christians, we've got to learn and grow in self-discipline. What it needs is a desire on our part to change what needs to be changed. And I want to close with this, verse 11 of chapter 2, Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Verse 11 says, it is the grace of God that allows this to happen. If we begin to understand the grace of God, on Sunday we talked about God's love, our Heavenly Father's love and grace. It is the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. A lot of times it's just difficult to say no on our own strength, on our own will, on our own desire. But if we are embraced by the grace of God that gives us salvation, it teaches us to say no. It is the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. It is the grace of God that helps us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. When we're so captured by the grace of God, that is what helps us live self-controlled and upright and godly lives. I want us to meditate on the grace of God as we say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, as we live self-controlled lives. I can't get over the fact of how strongly emphasized in Titus chapter 2 that the word teaches us to be self-controlled. Self-controlled in our talk, self-controlled in our behavior, self-controlled in our attitudes, self-controlled in our heart, while we wait for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Let's think about that. Let's examine our own, on our own scale of 1 to 10 or however you want to measure it. How self-controlled are we? How self-disciplined are we? May the word of the Lord encourage us this morning. Let's bow our heads. Obviously, I'm speaking to the choir, as they say, for you're here this morning. You've made a decision to get out of bed and make the effort to come to EMP. So I know that I'm speaking to the choir. May this be a theme that continues throughout our lives as we desire to grow in Christ. As we are young Christians, as we are young baby Christians, we need and are dependent upon someone else to feed us and to give us food. But eventually, as we grow older in our faith, older and mature believers, we're going to have to learn to feed ourselves. We're going to need to learn to feed ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace that teaches us to say no to ungodliness, that teaches us to say no to worldly passions. Thank you for your grace that help us to live self-controlled and godly lives in this wicked and evil age.
losing myself and bringing you praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul. It cries out to you. Give you control, consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out of my heart. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never end. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul. It cries out, everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out of my soul. It cries out from the inside out of my soul. It cries out to you. Thank you.
As we keep coming to EMP on a regular basis, it takes a lot of self-discipline to continue to pray and to seek God's face. As we intercede for our community, it takes a lot of self-discipline, but it's going to benefit in God being lifted up and glorified. So I want to encourage you to keep praying and interceding. And let's pray for those who are struggling with cancer right now and ask the Lord to bring healing and grace and mercy. Let's ask the Lord for comfort, and let's ask the Lord to just be merciful. And so let's lift up those who are struggling with cancer. Let's pray for them. Let's lift them up. For the salvation of those, the Lord wants none to perish, and so let's ask the Lord to bring salvation and healing to those that are sick. Let's lift them up in prayer now. For those who are struggling with sickness and illnesses, and let's ask the Lord to heal and to bless them. Let's continue to pray for P. Sam and Juanita. Juanita's went back to the States yesterday, but let's keep them in prayer. For those looking for jobs and employment, let's ask the Lord to give them opportunities and to be with them during this time. Let's pray. Pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace and Ashley, and let's pray for Pastor O and Pastor Tang, and ask the Lord to use these servants for his the furtherance of His gospel. Let's ask the Lord to protect them and cover them as it's spiritually and mentally very tiring and exhausting at times. And so let's encourage them through our prayers. Let's pray for them right now. Pray for the board of directors and ask the Lord to bless them and ask the Lord to use them. Let's ask the Lord for unity and wisdom and understanding. So let's pray for the board and let's intercede for them. Let's pray for their families and ask God to bless the families also. Let's pray. Pray for our hospitality ministries for welcoming Barista, and ask the Lord to raise up more volunteers for these ministries, but also to use them to just bring God's presence into those who walk through the doors. So let's pray for our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for in the future there will be an SP 2.0, a new building, and so let's pray for that. Let's pray for a donor that God would use, and so let's lift up and prepare the ground for the future of SP. So let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today, and let's ask the Lord to bless them as they get together and commune with one another and share with one another and serve each other. Let's ask the Lord to inhabit the praises of His people as they gather. Let's ask the Lord to just bless our house churches that are meeting today. Let's pray. Thank you. Lord, we thank you that you did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control. Lord, we just ask that you would just bless this day and bless this week. Lord, help us to fix our eyes upon you and not around our circumstances, Lord. God, for when we see you, we know that you are good and your love endures forever, that you are mighty to save, that you are greater than. Lord, we just thank you for your gift of love. So may your grace go before us, Lord. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessings to you today, and may the Lord be with you. May you see God work in the midst of your day, and enjoy your time seeking the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow.